right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Susnow.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Mark Susnow, and you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that inspires you to think about new possibilities and new ideas, new things you want to do with your life. And every week I'm blessed to have some amazing people talk to us and talk to me, and hopefully at the end of the show I've learned something, I've grown, and I hope you will. And I have amazing person today, Kim Yancey. He's the co-founder of the eWomen's Network. He co-founded Live Happy, a company that's leading a global movement to make a better planet happy, make the planet happier. He's a gold record winning composer and producer, and he's a creator and executive producer of the Glow Project, and a philanthropist, and just an amazing person. And I just started talking to him about a minute ago, and I know you're going to be excited, and I am, because we're just getting warmed up. So thanks for accepting my invitation to be on the show.
No, I love it, Mark, and I appreciate you generating this whole opportunity for happiness, for sharing, you know, what you and I know is truly one of the keys to living a fulfilled existence.
Yeah. So I don't know where to start. Really, I have a new book out called The Soul of Uncertainty. So I use that now. I go, I'm uncertain where to go with this. And you have such an amazing background that I'm just curious. But one thing I always say is that we teach, right, what we want to learn, and so I'll start there. You're really into this happiness thing. So was there a time in your life when you felt despair and you started thinking about, hey, how can I turn this around?
Yeah, you know, I was really, you know, out of sorts, you know, in my youth. You know, I didn't dwell on it or anything like that, but my family was, you know, ethnically very diverse. So we were Black, White, Native American, and French.
Mm.
And
wow.
So I didn't look white enough. I didn't look black enough. I didn't, you know, I was a light-skinned guy with green eyes. And growing up, that really created some problems.
Right. And where did you grow up?
Grew up in Dayton, Ohio. You know, great
wow.
city, great place to grow up, you know. And but when I say out of sorts, and I think it's kind of like with our multicultural world today, you know, it's amazing. Like my experience, you know, you have this experience inside yourself, you know, and you're speaking to yourself and you're picking up all kind of clues. And you know, when someone's looking at you and looking at you a little funny, you know, you have a choice in that moment. You know, are they saying something bad about me, something good about me? Are they, you know, whatever
right.
it might be, you know. And but I remember, you know, just navigating that, you know, was just a troubling time for me. And then it became my advantage. It's amazing. The very thing
right.
that, you yeah. know, that you feel can tear you down or have, you know, these implications in your life turn out to be, you know, your greatest strength.
Opportunities.
You know? And
I know.
It really did, you know, and ushered in phenomenal opportunities for me. And you know, and I stood out and I was different. And so, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's interesting what happens, you know, I believe, Mark, when it comes to what we go through whether it be the good times, the bad times, but especially those tough times where it really, you know, etches your soul and, you know, and it allows you to grow and have a depth I've come to learn and appreciate. There's a real depth that any of us that have been through, you know, really tough down times, that when you lift from that, you know, you're able to reach and connect at a deeper level just because you were able, you've gone there, you've gone deep, you know, with working
right.
through, you know, whatever challenges
right.
you might have had.
Yeah. So the pain that we experience, I know I had in some ways a horrific childhood, and I realize now in this time of my life, because my childhood was the way it was, it's enabled me to kind of thrive in these uncertain times. And I'm looking, seeing more and more, wow, this childhood prepared me in terms of handling adversity and disappointment and rejection and all this kind of stuff. And I think the pain really, as we allow ourselves to experience the pain fully, it expands our ability to experience joy. And I'm a big
totally.
Believer of that, you know, that we just have greater capacities to experience joy. And I think that, I think I shared with you off air that I've interviewed other people that have written about happiness, and they've all said the same thing, is that they grow into it, and all their past experiences kind of allow you to kind of enter this moment of being more, just being content and joyous with yourself. You don't really need anything. It's nice to have other things, but you get to that place that whatever you do, you take you with you and you like you.
Right. You take you with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's pretty
yeah.
good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty good.
It is.
Yeah.
You know,
you
know, it's an interesting thing about this whole happiness journey that we go on, and I've studied it too, and you know, but you know, especially in my youth. In fact, it wasn't until, you know, I'm 62 today, and I don't mean
all
today,
right.
but at this moment this
yes.
year. And
yes,
the it took, you know, I was well into my 50s and before I started to really understand that happiness was a choice, and that you and that it's a practice, like anything that you do. You know, you
mm-hmm.
you know, you practice being happy. I mean, there really are specific things you can do to change your level of happiness and how you look at things. And you know, I was
right.
telling my son, I told him one year, I said, you know, I'll never forget one year I did I had planned a New Year's Eve party with all of our friends down in Ohio, and we went down, I picked out this special club with this special band and this hotel and all that, and we had a group of people go down there with us, and it was one of, if not the most dissatisfying New Year's I've ever had. And he looked at me and he says, really? What? I said, you know what's incredible about it is I had set such incredible expectations of what it was going to be. And it wasn't that it wasn't good. It didn't live up to my expectations. And so I just felt this feeling of, that was just okay. And the
right.
amazing thing is, Mark, is that my most simple New Year's Eve with me and my wife, and we're watching the ball drop in New York, and we're making all kinds
uh-huh.
of different snacks and hummus and toasting each other and just relaxing. Well, it's the grandest of times. And I thought, and I said to him, I didn't have any expectations. I wasn't trying to determine where that was going to end up at. I was just in the moment. I was just enjoying the moment. And I had
right.
so much more fulfillment, you know. And it's amazing, you know, just learning to savor and appreciate and have gratitude for the simplest things, that there's joy around us all the time if we just are awake.
Yeah. I know. It's funny you talked about, you know, happiness is a choice. I used to have that on my voicemail until my friend said, please change. I had it for about 3 years on my voicemail. I said, please change it. Please change it. So I said, all right. So I changed it to stay curious because I'm big into
right.
curiosity. And
yeah.
And now I'm coming back to this idea about happiness. I'm saying it's the better option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of taken off on
yeah.
the idea as a choice. It's a better option.
Right.
So, okay, yeah. Well, this happened, and what am I going to make of it? What am I going to, what meaning, what significance if I'm going to give it? So, you know, this show, unfortunately, I have a feeling we could talk for hours. And so, plus we both talk fast, so we can get a lot done.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You started the eWomen's Network with your wife, Sandra, mm-hmm. who's going to be a guest on the show next month. And tell us about what that is.
Well, eWomen Network is a network dedicated to helping women achieve, succeed, and prosper. I mean, we have a mission to see 1 million women entrepreneurs generate $1 million in annual revenue. I mean, with all the women in business out there, you know, only 2% ever crack the $1 million annual threshold. So we're all about, you know, providing women with the resources, the assistance, the help, the guidance, you know, access to new customers. You know, it's really the
right.
ultimate good old girls network is what it is.
And
right. we 17
I like
years
that.
Ago. Thank you.
Good
thank
old,
you.
I never heard that before. The good old girls network.
And
you know?
17 years ago, I tell you, Sandra was we had moved to Dallas. Actually, it's a little over 20 years ago, but we had moved to Dallas, and she was flying out of Dallas to work with some of her clients. She did consulting work for Coca-Cola and John Deere and different companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, we were just, you know, just looking at each other, and I said, you know, Sandra, I said, we have all these Fortune 500 companies right here in Dallas, and they're looking for you. They don't know you, but they're looking for your skill set, looking for what you can do to help them. And you are looking for the decision maker in those companies, and you don't know who that is. And I said, you know, if you're having this problem, and you know, she's got her master's in organization development and a certificate from the Gestalt Institute. She's a very sharp woman. I said, if you're having this problem, I said, I guarantee you there are millions of other women who are having the same issue. And that is what led us to create the eWomen Network. I mean, you have to imagine, in 2000, you know, there was no Facebook, no LinkedIn, no Twitter, nothing at all like that, no meetups, none of those things were going on.
Right.
And if you were looking for, let's say, you know, I want a female interior designer, you know, and you put female anything on the Internet, you didn't go to the interior designer page. You went to a page that you wanted to click off of. And so, you know, we just thought, you mean there's nothing created where women can find other women and support each other? And that's what led us to create this. And it was supposed to be just a really like an online Rolodex, an online directory of you being able to find women in all these different business categories all over the country. And this is where you also learn the difference between research and polls and reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we did research and polls, and we shared with women what we were doing, and people and women would say, oh, this is great. And you mean I don't have to jump my car and go to meetings either? I can network online and all that. And so everyone
right.
was saying, this is great. This is wonderful. But no sooner did they join the network that women wanted to meet. They wanted.
Right.
And so this is a true story. I had a one of our neighbors became a member of eWomen Network, and it wasn't free. eWomen Network was a paid membership community from the day it launched, because we needed
uh-huh.
to, you know, we didn't know how to get venture capital and all that stuff. We just figured, hey, if other women liked what we were doing and what we were about, they'll value it, and they did. And but I remember one of our neighbors who had joined, and our kids went to the same elementary school. She says, hey. She says, I have been in communication with a lot of women who've joined eWomen Network here in our area. She says, I'm going to have a little get-together at my house. Why don't you guys stop by? And so we thought, that's great. Yeah, let's go do this. So we we went to her house, and like three blocks from her house, you know, the street was full of cars. And we thought to ourselves, oh, man, none of the people she wants to come by are going to be able to park. Somebody's throwing some kind of bunko party
uh-huh.
or something. We didn't know
right, where. Right, yeah.
We get to the house, and it's her house with over 100 women inside her house. I mean,
wow.
filled with people.
And this is
wanting
Dallas,
to meet.
Right?
Yeah,
Dallas.
Right there in Dallas. We were in Plano. And,
yeah.
and you know, just,
uh-huh.
you know, wanting to meet. So here's the learning in that. The polls said differently. The research said differently.
Right.
But when the pedal, you know, meets the metal, I mean, the women wanted to meet, and so we had to start chapters. And so now we've got over 500,000 women connected through 118 chapters.
Wow.
Spread out all over the United States and Canada.
Wow. Amazing. You know, what I'm getting from that is that a lot of times people get discouraged by all the naysayers, which
right.
sometimes could be the polls or the talking to people. But if you have a vision, you just got to do it. You just got to put it out there. I always say, if you don't put it out there, the answer is no.
Yeah.
You know, and if you put it out there, there's a good chance somebody, you know, people are going to say yes. But that's something I do if I think about reaching out to somebody or an idea. It's no if you don't do it.
Well, I will guarantee you this, and I have seen this happen so many times. And Mark, I'm going to suggest that it's happened to you too. But I guarantee you.
I'm sure it has. I don't even know what it is, but I'm sure it has.
Well, you don't even know what it is. But you know what? When you engage in the thing you want to do, the world rearranges itself and things fall in place. I have found this over and over again where, you know, when I'm looking for something, I'm looking for somebody, I'm trying to make a connection, whatever the case may be, but when I engage in it, see, more than just thinking about it, but when I engage in the activity, the world rearranges itself, things open up, and opportunities start to appear.
I like that. Yeah, that's been my experience too. Yeah, and it's sometimes if you haven't had that experience, it's hard to really believe that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an absolute fact. If you do it, you act on it, you move in the direction of what you're thinking, just move in that direction, act on it, be proactive, and stuff starts to fall in place. I mean, something happened to me just the other day. I was trying to some people I was trying to reach and connect with, and in the same day, they both got back to me on some big deals that we're working on. You know, I mean,
right.
You know, I'm saying to myself, oh, I've got to send them a note. I've got to make sure they have not forgotten. And before I could send the note across my email, they came back and said, hey, can you talk today? I want to go over this and go over that. And these were two big deals that I've been working on that I thought they had lost momentum, and both came back in the same day because I was thinking about it. I was acting on it. I see this all the time. I think just being awake in your life, you know, just dialing into your life, you know, feeling the moment, feeling
right.
the emotions, you know, being grateful, just things start to happen.
So what do you suggest to people that are, I mean, it's, you know, it sounds like this is kind of natural for you and it's natural for me, but what do you say to people where they're different than we are? I would say maybe they're not as outgoing as we are. They're not as confident as we are. How does somebody kind of develop that inner confidence that they're willing to put it out there and perhaps face rejection? Because I know the fear of rejection stops so many people, the fear of failure. And so what do you say to people?
You know, that fear of rejection is really real. And fear, period. But I think, you know, the good news is anybody who's listening to your show, they're already pretty awake. So that's the good news. I mean, they're seeking this kind of information. And so the
right.
first thing is, you know, you said you mentioned the whole thing about curiosity. I think
yes.
Look, I think internally that all of us know what we've got to do in some way. I mean, even when you don't know, let me talk about this for a minute. I mean, even when, you know, you want to lose 15, 20, 30 pounds, whatever it might be, and
right.
you know you want to do it, you know what to do to get yourself in a position to win if losing weight is what you're trying to do. I mean, you do know,
okay.
I can go read a book, I can read a magazine, I can do some research on the internet, I can find out what I should be doing and eating. You know what to do. So the big question would be, if that's something you want to do and you're not doing it, then you really don't want it that bad. There, I mean, you really
right.
don't care as much about it as you're thinking about it, or you do something about it. So listen. So
well, I have
thing.
A little slightly different, you know, my take on that is that I think everybody has a certain amount of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that, and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean if you have resistance that you don't want to do it. It just means you have resistance. And mm-hmm. to me, resistance is really like mixed feelings. And everybody has it to a certain degree. It might be maybe, I mean, any idea, there's pros and cons, yin and yang. And I think we all have that. And the question is to me, is how do you overcome that resistance? And I think that's where you have to, more or less, if you really want to do it, say, this is what I'm going to do, and get into keeping your word to yourself. And a network like what you have going, I think, allows you incredible support, where you get, where you're willing to say, this is what I want to do. I am resistant to this idea, but I'm willing to make a commitment, and it's better that I have my resistance than my resistance not having me, because if my resistance has me, I don't do it. I break it down a little bit
yeah.
differently.
I like your point of view on this, okay? I like that. I just really – we're talking about a subject here that I've really been paying a lot of attention to, too. You know, because I've been faced with something that I want to do. I've never been really, you know, I've been the kind of person that typically has gone after what I want to do. But I will tell you, I think that a lot of people will say that they want to do something. And
right.
they just won't work that hard toward it. It's so easy to proclaim and say what you want to do. I mean, and you can throw up and say, you know, I'm just having some resistance towards this, and that's real. There's nothing fake about that. But you also have to look at the things in your life where you don't have resistance. I mean, where you really don't have a reason to
mm-hmm.
be resistant to something. Maybe, I mean, you don't need to have a reason. I mean, why would you want to be resistant to being kind to somebody? Why would you be resistant to smiling? Unless somewhere, and you said this in the tape I saw on your website about, you know, loving yourself, you know, just,
right.
just the power that comes in with just loving yourself. As humans, as brilliant, as unbelievable as the human species is, and my gosh, you go out here and see the buildings, the planes, and see the things that humans create, you know, that we're all a part of. You know, it's amazing how, you know, we can tear ourselves down with our mindsets.
All the time.
You know,
we're brutal.
Ourselves.
We're brutal. We can be brutal. Brutal. You know, I once participated in a workshop in San Francisco with the Actors Institute, and we had to give a performance. And at the end of the performance, we critiqued our own performance, and the group critiqued our performance. And everyone's critique of their own performance was much harsher than the way the different members of the group critiqued our performance. And the instructor said, if you had to hire yourself, you wouldn't get a job.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, yeah,
how
I always
about
I
that?
Always remember that. Yeah. So you know, we're kind of running out of time. I mean, it's gone really fast, and you know, we still have like 6 minutes or so. But what inspires you right now?
Opportunity. The my curiosity really inspires me. But you know, it is. It's watching my kids, you know, spread their wings and do really cool things. You know, it's you know, I'm inspired. You know, when I'm out with my wife and we're traveling and we're going to, you know, and discovering, you know, new foods. And but you know, I'm really just inspired with the potential of it all. And everything's a new awakening to me. I got to be honest with you. I mean, everything is just like a new awakening, you know. I'm meeting great people every day. you know, I've got my health. I mean, I you know, so it's, this may sound, you know, very simplistic, but I'm just inspired by life's opportunities, you know.
Right.
In my case, to be a little bit more specific, you know, where we're going with eWomen Network and growing that, and we started a brand new division called Celebrity Science, which is a lot of fun for me. I owned an advertising agency 15 years before starting eWomen Network, so I was big in the marketing and branding, and I did that for my clients. And Celebrity Science is all about the science of creating celebrity for the individual. So we have a full-blown production studio here.
Wow.
And people fly in. I mean, we really make over people. We're not talking just fashion makeover. I mean, we make over their – we help them, you know, package their whole vision and do some exciting things.
Right.
So for any of your listeners, if they go to celebritiescience.com, they'll see a video there. And what's cool about the video is it explains what the difference between a superstar and an entrepreneur. And there are 8 key things that each one of them must possess. But only 5 of them does the entrepreneur do the same as the superstar. But those other 3 take that superstar to a whole nother level, and an entrepreneur can do it too. They just need to know how. So that's a lot of fun.
And this is for,
you know,
men too, also, not just women. This is also for men.
Oh yeah, this is, we have men in this. We have women. Yeah, men and women. Men and women.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
all they have to do is go to celebritiescience.com, and you'll find it really, really
right.
interesting. You know, that kind
what,
of thing. So,
what if people want to get a hold of you? Do you like? Are you available for?
Oh sure, sure.
Speaking,
I mean,
opportunities, consultations.
Yeah.
How do they
sure,
get a hold of you?
Sure. Yeah, you know, we Sandra and I have, you know, we do very interesting things. Every year we take a group of, in her case, it's a group of women on a retreat, a very deep retreat in the Riviera Maya. And we do, I have had some discussions with people lately about doing a couples business kind of retreat, something around, you know, teams, how men and women are teaming today.
Right.
I mean, they've always done it. They've always done it. But the key is, how do you do it and keep the romance alive, and how do you do it and
right.
and navigate through those times when you're pulling, you know, you want to pull your hair out, she wants to pull her hair out. And by no means, I am not here saying I'm a poster child for how to do it right. I have my own challenges.
Right. Exactly. But you know what?
But,
what comes through, Kim, is that you're like a lot of us, you know, you're It's some ways it. I see it as an adventure.
Yes.
And you come through that. You're an adventurer. You're turned on. You're excited. You're passionate. And you know, if you're an adventurer, things don't always work out, but they can even be better if they don't work out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about adventure is I see this constant deal we're doing here as like a kind of an exciting journey of discovery, you know, and we're discovering new things about ourselves, about life, and we keep evolving so that we have these deeper, richer experiences with more people, and I keep coming back, what makes sense to me, and I think this is one other thing that keeps me doing this radio show, is I just feel that I've connected with so many kindred souls. I feel like I'm gathering my tribe of kindred souls. And the radio show is just a vehicle to make that happen. And we all have something. And for you, it's a lot of the eWomen's Network, where you're through that, you're creating a platform where you're connecting more with a lot of these, your tribe of kindred souls. And they're out there. And we just have to have a way to kind of interact and to meet each other. And that kind of creates a certain momentum and a certain aliveness that makes life much richer.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Well said, Mark. Well said.
Like yeah. So we're going to have to stop in 90 seconds. I can't believe this. And
oh my goodness!
We're going to have another conversation on this show, definitely. And,
yeah, look forward to it.
So what would be your parting message to the listeners? I mean, if they said, you know, when the one thing that Kim Yancey said that's, you know, that's really made a difference in my life, what would that be?
I would say, listen to what your soul is telling you. It's talking to you every single day. It's gnawing at you. Pay attention to that. That's for one. And the second thing is smile more. Smile. Put it on the world. Send it out there. Smile more. It's going to do a lot for you. It's going to do a lot for the world. We need more of it. Just lead with that smile. But listen to your soul. Listen to what it's saying to you. It's telling you what to do. It's guiding you.
I love that. It's something I would say, and I say all the time, especially in my latest book, you know, listen to your soul. Listen to that calling.
Yeah.
And listen, smile. I'm big on smiling.
Yeah, I know you
smiling.
Are, Mark.
Well, yeah, so thank you so much, Kim Yancey, for being the guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. And every week, friends, that we have amazing people to kind of share this journey with us and to the meantime, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.